How many times a day do we say that? I'm sorry, Lord, for what I've made it. Well, as we, I hope you're doing well this morning and everybody is staying healthy, and I hope you've had an awesome week, and as you can see, spring didn't stay around long. Winter came right back. And as I've been seeking God for what He would have me to share with you over the past several weeks, God has been placing it on my heart something that I think is so vitally important in the days that we are in. It is vitally important in these times that we can answer the question, why do I believe what I believe? Why do I believe what I believe? It really is a great question. And unfortunately, what I'm finding for many Christians, they have a hard time answering that question when they are faced. Am I dead? Maybe I didn't turn it on. Maybe it's dead.
It was on.
Everybody can probably still hear me though, right?
Yes,
tone it down, Pastor. Can you hear me now? All right. Well, you know, I thought I checked those babies. But anyway. All right. Well, as I was saying, I think it's so important for us to be able to answer, why do I believe what I believe? And what I've been experiencing for many, many weeks, maybe many months, maybe years now, is that many Christians can't answer that question. I mean, I've heard Christians say things like this. Well, it's in the Bible, and the Bible is all true, and that is why I believe what I believe. Or some people try to just convince others by sharing their own experiences rather than the Bible. Now, while these are true, right? The Bible is 100% truth. So we do certainly believe everything in the Bible. While those things are true, I'm here to tell you this morning, it is not good enough for the unbelieving world in which we live. I mean, 1 Peter 3:15 and 16 says this, "But in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander." You see, church, we should always be ready to give an answer, gently and respectfully, I get that. We should always be ready to give an answer of why we believe what we believe. We when we're asked about our faith, when we're asked about our lifestyle choices, when we're asked about our Christian perspective, I wonder, can others see your hope in Christ? Can others tell that you are a follower of Jesus by your lifestyle choices? Are you prepared to tell others about this awesome God and the gospel message that has changed your life? Church, this journey that I'm about to take you on over the next several weeks, maybe months, is not a journey to show you how bad of a Christian you are. This journey is to equip you to be able to tell everyone that you will ever encounter in this life why you believe what you believe. Now, I do not believe there is a better place to start than with our foundation. God's Word is our foundation. should be our foundation. We easily say this statement, right? We easily would say, God's word is our foundation. God's word is our foundation. It's easy coming out of the mouth. We easily say this statement, and I believe that we want this statement to be true in our lives. But the reality is, the proof is in the words we speak and in the lives we live. We are easy to claim God's word when it says, come as you are, and we continue to live out our lives as though Scripture means that God will accept me however I am. You see, again, while this statement is true, God does accept you just as you are. As true as that statement is, right, that is not what God's word says completely. Matthew 11, 28 through 30 says this, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This verse captures the essence, showing that Jesus is inviting everyone. He's inviting everyone to come to Him in their need, and not in their perfection. I love that about God. I love that about Jesus. Jesus is certainly promising rest, and He's promising acceptance. But there is also an expectation that we will be transformed as we follow Him and we follow His word. You see, I think over the years we see a lot of people who claim this, and you know what? I can't tell you how many people have thrown it in my face out in the world that we have to, you know, the sign should be on the door, come as you are. While that is true, and I would agree, hey, the doors are open for everyone. But by golly, if you're in the presence of God long enough, don't you think you ought to change? Don't you think your life should look different? You can't just come as you are and 5 years later be in the presence of God and still be the same that you were. Not happening. Shouldn't be. But there's a lot of people who claim it. There's a lot of people who never change. They claim, I got Jesus because He said, come as you are. He will take me as I am. Yeah, He does. But He has an expectation that if He is in your life is going to change. Your life will change. You will be transformed by following Him and being in His Word. Now, again, I say this and I stress this. There are Christians that are still coming to Jesus the same way that they came to Him the first time that they believed 5, 10, 20, 30 years ago. And I'm here to tell you, this is not a life that says God's Word is my foundation. This is a life that says, I just need to know that when I breathe my last, I will be in heaven. And I'm going to live however I want. Church, God's Word is our foundation, or it should be. So the first thing that I want you to write down this morning as I'm taking you through this, God's Word should be the foundation for my life. God's Word should be the foundation for my life. You know, ever since Satan, in the form of a serpent, cast doubt on God's instruction in the Garden of Eden, right? Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 through 5, I'll read it for you. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good from good and evil. Now, ever since that day in the Garden of Eden, people have questioned the authority of God's Word. That's, you know, when you think about everything that I want to share with you today in our world, I'm here to tell you it's an outright attack on the book of Genesis. Every hot topic that we are facing in our world today, God addressed in the book of Genesis. He did. He did 100%. So ever since that encounter in the Garden of Eden, people have questioned the authority of God's Word. Okay? And they are still questioning God's Word today. Think about some of the most pressing problems in society today. Abortion, marriage issues, family structure, inequality, government, crime, human rights, girls claiming to be boys and boys claiming to be girls, social problems, and the list goes on. Now, thinking about some of these, and I'm going to get to those here in just a moment, but thinking about some of those pressing problems in our world today, there is a huge difference between how the world views these issues and what the Bible teaches us about these issues. We come to understand all of this because we come to this place because we have God's Word. And God's Word says that as descendants of Adam, that's you and me, okay? We're all descendants of Adam. Because we are descendants of Adam, because we are born in the image of Adam, we have inherited a sin problem, okay? We have inherited the sinful nature, okay? Now, it says, Romans 5:12, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men, because all sinned. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All, I stress all, God's Word stresses all. Everyone who's ever been born is born into sin. Wasn't our choice, I get it. And we can talk in over the next several weeks, months, whatever. We'll talk about the age of accountability, all those things. We'll get into all that. But the Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everyone. Everyone. 1 John 1:8 through 10 says this, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar and His word has no place in our lives. So church, as Christians, we believe that God's word is truth, 100% truth. Amen? Okay, the question is, do you believe that God's Word is 100% truth? You see, this is also a vitally important question, okay? Because if you believe that God's Word is 100% truth, and we're going to dig into this so much over the next several weeks, it's a vitally important question. Because if we believe that God's Word is truth, then God's Word should always be our starting point on everything, right? God's Word should be our starting point when looking at everything in this life. Everything. Now, if you believe that God's Word is 100% truth, I'm going to ask you to write this down. God's Word should be the authority in my life. God's word should be the authority in my life. I want to read to you. Psalm chapter 86, verse 11 says this, teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. It's a great prayer, wouldn't you agree? It's a great prayer. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. I got to be honest with you. Everywhere I go, I see Christians with divided hearts. Divided hearts because they struggle with you know, being a part of the world, which we're supposed to be set apart from, and living as God's word tells us to live. We need to be asking God to give us undivided hearts, right? I want an undivided heart because I want to live a life that's pleasing to Him. I want to do things that pleases Him in everything, in every area of my life. Now, just to give you a little background, in this psalm, David is talking to God. He's praying to God, right? And we know something about David. He loves God. He loves God, and because God said that David was a man after his own heart, right? David was, but here's the thing that you need to see. David wasn't a perfect man, not even close. David was not a perfect man, but he was a man that loved the Lord and truly wanted to please Him. So, David is talking to God and he asks God two things in this verse. Teach me your ways and give me an undivided heart. Teach me your ways, God, and give me an undivided heart. Why did David ask God these things? Well, because David wanted badly to fear the name of the Lord. He wanted to fear the name of the Lord. That's what it says, right? That I may fear your name. Now, this idea of walk, in walking in God's truth, this idea of walk is often used in God's word to refer to a pattern of life. So it should be a pattern of life. John 8:12 says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Romans 6:4, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we live by faith, not by sight. Ephesians 4:1, as a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Now, David had a desire to live his life in the light of God's truth. So David recognizes that God's word needs to be the foundation of his life. I need God's word to be the foundation of my life. God's word should be the authority of David's life, right? God's word should be the authority in your life. Completely. You see, David's desire to live his life according to God's principles should be the goal of every Christian, okay? It's so important. So important. We want to hear well done, good and faithful servant whenever we breathe our last and we meet Jesus face to face. We want to hear that. So we long for that, right? But how do we hear those words? You think it's because of something we did? It's because we served enough or we gave enough in church. I don't think those things will get you those words. What I think will get you those words and what I believe will get you those words is when you live a life that is pleasing to God. When you live a life that lines up with His word, right? As Christians, that's you and me, we must rely on God's word as the starting point for all of our judgments and our beliefs. Again, we live in a world that insists that we leave God's word out of all the hot topics in our world, right? Leave God out. Leave God out of this discussion. Leave God out of this. And when we do that, when we start talking about God, creation, when we start talking about absolute truth, morality, science, or the Bible itself, the world says, let's just look at these topics through the world, through the eyes of the world. That's what they want you to do. Because what they want is they want society to determine what is truth. Okay? If it's your truth, then that's good enough, right? If it's good for you, you just live that way. No, that is false. There is a truth. It's God's truth. God's truth should be the authority in our lives. We don't live however we want, and then we go, well, you know what? I'm just going to live the way I want, and it's my truth, so it's truth. That's false. No, God's truth is the only truth. The only truth. God's truth is what should determine the way we live. You see, I'm here to tell you that you cannot and must not set aside God's word in any area of your life. Not even for a moment. You cannot set aside God's word in any area of your life or any hot topic in our world today. You can't do it. Because what happens is, when we don't stand on the word of God, we've already lost. Christians must stand on the Word of God because God's Word is our foundation and God's Word is the authority. Luke 6, 47 through 49 says this, I will show you what He is like who comes to Me and hears My words and puts them into practice. He is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it. Because it was built, it was well built. But the one who hears My words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. You see, church, everything we believe and how we live should be based on what God's Word says. According to God's Word, disregarding God's Word would result in disaster. That's what we read here in Luke chapter 6. Everything that we believe should be based on what God's Word says. The moment that we disregard God's Word, the moment that we set aside God's Word, the result is disaster because we are no longer standing on the firm foundation of God's truth. God's Word should always be, always, no compromise. God's Word should always be the foundation on which I stand and the authority, it should be the authority in my life. You know, there's something that happens in a person's life who is allowing God's Word to be the authority in their life. You know what? There's something I learned long ago. You know, after I gave my life to Jesus, you know, I wanted to do everything I could to make sure that I loved my wife well, and I took care of my wife and took care of my family, took care of my kids, took care of my grandkids. That is something that I wanted to do. And when God gave me a flock to walk with, I wanted to make sure I was taking good care of them too. And you know what? I realized over time, it wasn't what I did. It was who I followed. You see, the most important thing for my marriage is that God's Word is the authority in my life. Because if God's Word is the authority in my life, then my wife can have confidence in her husband because he's following Jesus. See, he won't get a wandering eye. He won't do these things. He won't do that. He won't do that. You know, he won't get wayward if God's Word is the authority in his life. I'll never forget one of the things that Tracy said to me long ago. She goes, you want to please me in this life? Make Jesus number one. Make Jesus number one in your life, and I guarantee you, don't get me wrong, there will be days whenever we don't agree, and there will be days whenever she wants to, you know, go against some, the things that I say, but as long as Jesus is number one in my life, she has a confidence that that authority is the one that's guiding and directing my every decision. She has a confidence in me because of the authority of God's Word. Not because of me, I can promise you that. But because of the authority of God's Word in my life. You see, church, we have to have that sure, solid foundation, right? We have to have that foundation because if we're not standing on the solid, sure foundation, when we choose to leave that foundation, it's no longer solid. Your marriages are fragile. Your kids are fragile. You know, everything in life is fragile except for the firm foundation and the authority of God's Word in your life. I might also add that when you set God's Word aside and when you leave that solid, firm foundation, I want you to understand that you're a sitting duck for the enemy. You are a sitting duck for the enemy. I would also add that you have already lost the battle of the day or the battle of the circumstance or even before it even begins if you choose to not allow God's authority to rule, God's Word to rule in your life. Now, maybe as I said, Psalm 86:11 should be our prayer every day, right? Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. Church, our goal each and every day should be to live our lives according to God's Word. Now, how can God's Word be the authority in your life? Or how can you live according to God's Word if you're not in His Word? If you're not reading His Word? If you're not studying His Word? How can it be the authority in your life? How can you know how to live to please God if you're not opening up your Bibles? You have to be opening up your Bibles every single day. The moment that you don't, the enemy's just waiting. He's waiting outside your door. Maybe he's waiting inside your house. Right? So how do we reach this goal every day? How do we reach this goal of having God's Word be the authority in our lives and living to please God? I would ask you to write this down. I must allow God's Word to guide my life. I must allow God's Word to guide my life. I want to read to you from Psalm 119, 105, and 112, just two verses. Says this, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. You see, church, God has revealed His truth to us in His Word. He has. You don't have to second guess if God's talking to you or not. God is talking to you every time you open up His Word. You know, I hear so many people say all the time, oh, I don't hear God's audible voice. I don't hear God. I've never heard God speak. Have you not opened His Word? We have this beautiful gift that God has given us in His Word, and you can hear God speak. All you got to do is open it. All you got to do is open it up and read it, and God is speaking to you just like He's speaking to me. He's speaking to anyone who opens His Word, right? God has revealed His truth to us in His Word. We are to walk in the truth of God's Word. We do this, or we should do this, in our everyday lives. Think about this. As we walk, we take one step at a time, right? Sometimes I trip and it looks like I'm taking two steps. It doesn't really work. But when we walk, we take one step at a time. Now, the light, God's Word, helps to illuminate the path in front of us so that we do not get off the path or step into danger. Okay? As we navigate through our daily lives, God's word should guide our decisions just as a light guides our feet. Okay? Another way we could look at this, we could think about this is look how we look at the world and what glasses we look through. Now, if I take my glasses off, you guys look a little fuzzy to me. You know, I mean, at best, I can see maybe the front row. I put those glasses on, I can see clearly. Now, again, if you wear glasses or you wear contacts, you can attest to the fact that the world looks a little fuzzy without your glasses or your contacts, right? Now, I know my world is a little fuzzy without my glasses. I'll be driving down the road and I see a sign, but I can't read it. Okay? I can't read it. So you might see the sign ahead, but if you can't read it to give you direction, then what good is it? Right? The Bible can function in the same way. You see, if we look at the world through the lens of Scripture, we see things differently from the way the world sees them, right? We see them differently than the world sees them. Why? Well, because we trust what God has revealed to us, we view things from a biblical perspective. Now, think about those problems in our society that I shared with you a little earlier. The world says abortion is a matter of choice and convenience. But the Bible teaches that abortion is murder. Bottom line, it's murder. Now, that doesn't mean that somebody didn't do that deed, you know, have an abortion. They didn't have an abortion when they were scared and they didn't know how things were going to work out and they didn't know what to do, right? The beauty in that is they're with Jesus. And they don't have to deal with this world. But think about that. If you look at things through the eyes, for the sake of the topic, if you look at things through the eyes of the world and eyes of Scripture, the bottom line is abortion is a matter of choice and convenience. If it doesn't fit into your lifestyle, if it didn't happen the way you think it should, then you have the right to terminate that child, right? And just so you know, life begins at conception. Okay, it's not just a blob, nothing like that. No, it life begins at conception. You know, there's a song by Matthew West. It's called Unplanned, that has really hit my heart. And because you know, I struggled with this for a very long time because. You know, you always have that 1%. Well, what would happen if my granddaughter was raped or you know something? I mean, those are the topics that come up around this thing. Well, the bottom line is abortion's murder, right? God's word, it's murder. And the song it says, if I believe that God is the creator of all things, and He is an awesome God. Even in the midst of some of life's most biggest tragedies, then I would have to understand that there's nothing unplanned. No matter how it comes to be, if a child is given life, no matter how awful that was, God has chosen to give life. It wasn't an accident. No, it was God giving life. Church, the world says that marriage can be between a man and a man and a woman or anyone who you want to be married to, right? But the Bible says that God ordained marriage to be between one man and one woman. That's God's word. The authority, right? Again, while there is no disputing that these ideas are problems within our society, they are hot topics, they're hot buttons, right? They are really, this is what I want you to, as awful as those thoughts are, This is where I really want to get you to this morning. While those ideas are problems within our society, they are really more like symptoms of an underlying problem. That the real problem isn't that people don't take God's view on these issues. That's the real problem. People do not take God's view on these issues into account. That's the problem. No, hear me out for a moment. If God's ordinances, precepts, and His words were valued in our world, right? If they were valued on these issues wouldn't exist. If God's word was the authority in our world, these hot topic issues would not exist. They wouldn't. Because there would be an authority that we answer to, right? The problem is, even in the Christian realm of things, God's word isn't the authority. Well, we want to know that we're going to heaven, right? But there ain't nobody going to be telling me how I'm going to live my life, how I'm going to raise my family, how I'm going to love my wife, how I'm going to do whatever I want to do. I'm going to do what I want to do when I want to do it. That's what we say. God, just make sure that I'm going to heaven. That means God's word is not an authority in your life. And that's the problem. The problem isn't abortion, because there wouldn't be abortion if God's word was the authority, right? There wouldn't be a question about marriage if God's word was the authority. I would go one step farther and say there wouldn't be divorce if God's word was the authority. Because people would live not selfishly, they would live the way that they are supposed to live. But the problem is, God's word is not the authority in our lives. Should be, right? Again, if people's hearts were truly united with God's heart and they used His words to truly guide their steps, they would not choose to have an abortion. They would not choose to abandon their families or teach evolution in schools. They wouldn't. When we put on our biblical glasses, the right choices in all of these circumstances come into focus. Rather than being problems, all of these social challenges are symptoms of a lack of authority in our lives. And the reality is, God's word has been set aside by a majority of our society. In all honesty, the more I think about that, God's word has been set aside by many churches in our world who are changing God's word, who are accepting of worldly things rather than upholding God's authority in the church. You see, rather than using God's word to guide and direct their decisions, they look inside God's word for inspiration, and then they do whatever they do whatever is right in their own eyes. And that's been that way since the beginning of time. Judges 17:6 says this: in those days Israel had no king. Everyone did as he saw fit. You know, we got to get to this place of God's word being our foundation and God's word being the authority in our lives, or we're all in trouble. We are not going to be able to live lives that are pleasing to God. And I get it, come as you are, but don't stay the same. Do not stay the same. In the day of the judges, they didn't have the King of Kings. Okay? In the day of Judges, the King of Kings was not honored. Was not honored, and each person did what is right in their own eyes, much like in God's people today. You see, we come to church, We read devotions. We read God's word, but then we live as though we have no king. The root of the problem, the Bible is not the authority in the lives of individuals. I see it all the time. All the time. People don't come to church because they want to do life their own way. They want to do what they want to do. Because they are the authority, not God. It's a problem, don't you think? It's a problem. You want to know how we get in trouble? When we take over the reins. We get in trouble in our lives. Now again, that doesn't mean that you're not saved. I'm not saying that. The saved man can get just as much trouble when he lives like there is no king. We come to church, we read devotions, we read God's word, but then we live as though we have no king. You see, the root of the problem is that the Bible is not the authority in the lives of individuals. It's not. You're the king. You're the king. And let me just tell you something about your kingdom. If you're the one running it, it's destined to fall. It will fall. It's not a matter of if, it is a matter of when. It will fall. Now, when I think about our country, and let me tell you, our world is a whole lot different than when I was growing up. I get it. But looking at our country, would you say it is more important to get back to traditional family values or to depend on the Bible as absolute authority? You see, to answer this question, we have to put on our biblical glasses. Remember, church, every thought must be taken captive to the obedience of Christ, right? 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 6 says this, "The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete." Here's the deal on that. We cannot look at everything through our favorite podcast or self-help book series. Those things aren't all bad. They're not bad. But we need to get back to using the Bible as our absolute authority. We have gotten away from the Bible being our absolute authority for so long, that is the reason why our world is in the way, is in the shape it is. I mean, golly, even when I was a kid, which wasn't that long ago, there wasn't anything open on Sunday. You couldn't do anything. You couldn't get gas on Sunday. You sure as heck weren't going to be playing no sports on Sunday. No, it was a society that had at least an idea and a reverence for God. That's what it was. Now you have people that have no, they don't want any of God's authority in their lives. They call the shots. So instead of planning on Saturday when everybody's out having a good time, you know, on their day off, they're having sports on Sunday, not Saturday. Because there's no reverence for God at all. We see it all the time. It's happening more and more. God is not the authority in our world. We got to get back to God being the absolute authority. Again, all these problems in our world and even in our lives are but symptoms. They are just symptoms. The real problem is rejecting the Bible. That's what it is. The real problem is rejecting the Bible and the real authoritative source that it is. And it is. One day whenever you die and you go and meet Jesus face to face, your life is going to be lined up with that word. Your life will be looked at through the word of God. You want to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant. How well are you upholding the Word of God in your life? Again, I'm not saying perfection because we just talked about David. And if you don't know that much about David, David was a murderer, he was an adulterer, but he loved God. He had a heart for God. He wasn't perfect, but he had a heart for God. He did not reject His Word the way we reject the Word today. Church, as we proclaim the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ and the authority of the Bible, people's hearts and people's minds will be changed through God's transforming power. As our individual lives are changed, then society around us will be impacted. Amen? It will. Wherever you go, wherever God leads you, whatever God has you doing on a weekly basis, if you allow God's Word to transform, be the authority in your life and transform your life, then I can't help but believe that the society around you will be impacted greatly. It will be. We must allow God's Word to guide our lives. So, one last thing. How can we apply this to our daily lives? And I'm so glad you asked that question. I'd ask you to write this down. I must allow God's Word to be the authority in my life. See, I want to read to you Psalm 19, 7 through 11 says this. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. As we look at the world in which we live, there are great consequences when one doesn't see the Bible as the authority that they must submit to. There is. And that's whether it's an individual consequence or a society that is in consequence. The consequences as I see them is immoral behavior. It gets excused. And everyone does what is right in their own eyes. That's what God's Word said. When we don't have a king in authority over us, everyone will do what they think is right in their own eyes, which leads to destruction, I might add. It may lead to the destruction of a marriage. It could lead to a destruction of a family. It could lead to the destruction of a church. When we do what we think is right in our own eyes, without lining it up with the Word of God, destruction is but a moment away. Truly. We need to have an authority over us. You see, these consequences of immoral behavior, it gets excused. Everyone does what is right in their own eyes. We see excuses for abortion. We see excuses for homosexuality. We see excuses for vanity, divorce, and murder. And the list goes on and on and on. And it's easy to look out in the world and see that the world needs God, right? I mean, it's like, man, they just need God. They just need God. But I'm here to tell you, God's Word needs to be the authority in our lives first. The Word of God needs to be the authority in the life of the church before we can ever expect a society to change. As followers of Jesus Christ, our worldview should be firmly founded upon the truths that God has revealed to us in the Bible. Everyone that you will ever interact with on a daily basis has a worldview. They do. Everyone has an idea. They have their own truth. That's the thing. They have their own truth. You see this in the way they live their lives. Lifestyle decisions are determined by a person's worldview, right? Marriage, sexuality, money, raising kids, voting, whatever. But ultimately, every area of life is determined by a person's beliefs. Their beliefs about authority. As Christians, allowing God's Word to be the authority in my life means that we use the Bible as the ultimate guide for our beliefs and our actions. Does my life line up with God's Word? Church, I'm here to tell you, the Bible supersedes our personal opinions. The Bible supersedes our traditions and our worldly ideas. It does. The Bible provides a stable foundation, truth, wisdom, and it equips us for life's many challenges. I'm also here to tell you that the Bible never changes. The worldview changes constantly based on the temperature of society. Right? But God's Word never changes. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Church, in order for the Word of God to be the authority in your life, you have to read it. And you have to apply it. When you read and study God's Word on a regular basis, I want to remind you that you are hearing God's voice. That is the number one way that God speaks to you, is through His written Word. You have no excuse, because God has given you everything that you need to know what He expects of you. And He has equipped you to be able to accomplish that on a daily basis. Church, I want to encourage you today as we close, actively apply God's Word and its teaching to your daily life and your actions. Test everything next to God's Word. Use God's Word to test your own beliefs and your own motivations. Why am I doing that? Should I be doing that, right? And because the Bible, the authority and the Bible never changes. And the promises of God's authority and His Word is eternal life. When we look at the world in which we live through the eyes of God's Word, we can understand why the world is the way it is. Because there is no authority in our world. At least for the majority of the world, I should say. Church, we need to be submitting to the ultimate authority, and His name is Jesus. Is He the authority in your life? Is God's Word what guides your every decision? Not just your idea of God's Word, but God's Word. Let's pray. Father, we come before You and we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that You... I thank You that we live in a time where we have Your instruction manual right in our hands. And God, shame on us when we don't open it. Shame on us when we don't study it and apply it to our lives so that we can please You with the very lives You've given us. But God, today I pray, and over the next several weeks as we begin to unpackage Your Word and Your truth, God, I pray that we will come to a place of being able to answer the question, why do I believe what I believe? And that It starts with your word being our foundation. It starts with your word being the authority in our lives. God, I can only imagine that our families will be stronger, our marriages will be stronger, the love for each other would be stronger, our churches would be stronger if we just put you and your word and your son Jesus as the number one authority in our lives. God, again, I pray for every family that's represented here this morning. I pray your blessing over them, that you would protect them, that you would provide for them, and you would take care of them until we can be together again. In Jesus' name, amen.